Communication. This recording is intended to touch on all seven of the synonymous terms for God and the four operators, with a focus on how do we communicate with God? How does God communicate with us? The Bible states that God is no respecter of persons. Now, that's a great disappointment if anyone really reads that and thinks that they have a personal God or a personal relationship with God. And, of course, normally they're thinking of Jesus, thinking that Jesus is God and that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus states very clearly that he is not God, but he is at one with God in consciousness, just like we can be at one with God when we are abiding by the government of God, just like we can be at one with mathematics when we are utilizing the mathematical tables, or we can be at one with music when we are in accordance with the rules and laws of music. We can be at one with chemistry. We can be at one with creating a beautiful landscape. We can be at one with anything in which we are abiding with the principle that is related to the topic. If one wants to talk with God, the formula is very simple. Learn what God is, comply, and be in alignment with what God is. Then we are communicating with God. If we are in alignment with God, God is communicating with us. God does not look like a man or a woman or a child or a preacher, because God is qualities, and God expresses God through God's qualities. God is the source of everything that exists, and that source, in order to be a source, has a manifestation which is a part of it. It's all unified. It's all one thing. The manifestation, in order to be a manifestation, must be a manifestation of the source. If we want to be communicating with God, we need to be acting like God's manifestation. We can't be acting like someone with self-will, someone that has an ego, someone that is trying to exercise authority over someone else. God is the only authority. God is the only controller. God is the only director. God is the only thinking. And God really doesn't need to do any thinking because God knows. Mary Baker Eddy has defined God as being incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And also that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. Mary Baker Eddy has defined good to be God, spirit. And then she follows with the four omnis of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, and omniaction. If we are involved in any kind of a spiritual action, we are in alignment with God. If we are involved in a so-called material action, we are the opposite of being in alignment with God. we're in alignment with a false representation of reality. We're in alignment with animal magnetism, hypnotism, mesmerism, any other ism you want to add to it, but it certainly is not godlike. Godlike means that we have to be following the rules of spirit. What are the rules of spirit? Well, spirit is flawless. No mistake. Spirit is the opposite of matter. You can't touch it. You can't feel it, taste it, or smell it. Not with material senses, but with spiritual senses, you can do all of those things. But it is not visible. It is invisible because it is qualities. The formula for communicating with God is very simple. Exercising that is a different story. That is an individual salvation that must be pursued. No one can do it for us. Jesus did not do it for us. Mary Baker Eddy did not do it for us. Moses, Jacob, Elias, Elijah, King David, Solomon. No one else, under any circumstance, can work out one's salvation, because it has to be worked out individually. Mary Baker Eddy makes a big deal about the difference between personality and individuality. Individuality is a unique relationship with the qualities of God. And every single individual, all 8.3 billion, all have an individual relationship with the one incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Whether they know it or not, it is there, because everyone has their position, their unique duties to carry out, their unique way to glorify God. You might have a number of great composers of beautiful music, but each one has their own style. God makes available to every single one of his 8.3 billion individualities a specific specialty. No one can take that away from them. They don't need to share it with someone else, because everyone has their own unique individuality. So it's not a matter of sharing it with a person. It's a matter of demonstrating it and letting the entire universe of thought benefit from being the individual, unique manifestation of God that is intended just for us individually. Anyone and everyone should be a messenger of God. In other words, we should be glorifying God by getting a better and better understanding of God's qualities, exercising them, interpreting and translating them, demonstrating and proving that they are correct. In other words, that our interpretation and translation is correct. And then we are it. We have demonstrated it. We have proven it. And therefore, we are then in the science of the four operators. The first one being the Word, which is the facts about God. And the second one, as mentioned, is the translation or interpretation. The third is Christianity, which is the demonstration of the facts about God and the interpretation and translation. And when we have demonstrated it to be true, made it our own, convinced ourselves that this is true, and it can be repeated over and over and over, just like using 8 times 75. You know, we can use that over and over and over. And it doesn't matter whether we are upside down when we're doing it, whether we're thinking about it, or whether we're writing it down, the answer is always 600. 8 times 75 is always 600. And it's available for everyone because it is a principle of mathematics. You don't have to be inside a church in order for it to work. In fact, I've never heard of a church of mathematics. There may be clubs of mathematics where mathematicians are enthusiasts and they like to discuss different things of common interest about mathematics. Or maybe they're working on a particular solution to a problem that they feel can be solved through mathematics. But the concept of mathematics is what is universal. Not a building, not a bureaucracy, not a club, or anything else. Some of the qualities of mind, in addition to what was mentioned about being the four omnis and the introduction adjectives, which are the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, one of them is a quality of omniscience, which is intelligence. Another one is knowing. Another one is wisdom. Other qualities of mind include things that we utilize all the time. And we can do it with a greater and greater degree of concept if we think about the word infinite. That is things such as capacity, capability, functionality, facility. These are all things that can be utilized with any topic. It's like the note A or B or C or D or E or F or G in music. We can make a composition using any of those notes, but we need to abide by the rules of music in order to make it harmonious. The same thing with the system of divine metaphysics. If we want the outcome to be harmonious, we need to abide by the rules of the principle of divine metaphysics. We need to intelligently and knowingly and wisely utilize the facts of God in order to bring about the solution, which is going to be harmonious. Doesn't matter what the topic is, the formula is the same. Know the facts about God, apply them according to the principle, voila, you get the result. There's no magic. Because it is principle, it is a rule, it is a law. I already mentioned a couple of things about spirit, which is flawless. And if it's flawless, it's going to be transparent. If it's transparent, it's going to be reflecting. So we can reflect any quality of God by utilizing the factors of spirit. The same with soul. Because spirit is the only substance, soul is spiritual sense. It's not material sense. It is the opposite of a material base or a material concept. And yet it's unique with everyone individually because everyone can reflect it in a different way. If we are looking or listening or feeling or tasting or smelling, We need to be seeking the spiritual qualities. Mary Baker Eddy gives us two or three words on each one of those in the Blue Book by Richard Oakes. I believe it's page 222, or maybe it's 212. For example, she says that the spiritual nature of seeing is spiritual perception. Are we sorting? Are we seeing the correct thing? Are we trying to interject a personality? Or are we looking for an impersonal view of what we are seeing? In other words, are we really looking for the quality of seeing? Mary Baker Eddy, in the beginning of Science and Health, quotes Shakespeare, says, "Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." Mr. Rawson says a very similar thing. He says that our thoughts end up being our experience. If we want to improve our experience, we need to change our thoughts. How do we change them? By understanding God better and focusing on what God is. Focusing on the facts about God. Focusing on translating and interpreting whatever we see in a spiritual viewpoint. Don't look at a sinning mortal man. If we see someone that is sick or sinning or whatever, look at the true idea of God. Let that be embedded in our thought, no matter who we're looking at, and that will reflect out into the atmosphere of thought and be a positive healing element. If Jesus saw a dead Tabitha or a dead Lazarus or a leprous group of 10 men or women or whatever they were, that's what he was thinking about. He was seeing people with problems. But could he heal that way? Einstein says if we're going to try to solve a problem, we have to look at it from a higher dimension than where the problem was perceived. Mary Baker Eddy tells us that we are constantly inundated with material suggestions. Mr. Winslow reminds us, don't pick up the phone. Don't take those material suggestions and make them a part of your consciousness. But refute them. Indicate strongly that they are not a part of you, that they have no foundation, and you are not going to accept them as being real. Instead, listen to the facts about God. They are always being announced because they're all around us. But are we paying attention? It's easy to see beauty. We can see beauty in an individual the way they conducted themselves in a difficult situation. We can see beauty in the bloom of a wonderful rose or a sunflower or any other kind of beautiful vegetation. The fresh leaves coming out in the spring on trees, fruit trees blooming with all their beautiful colors. All of these are representations of beauty. It is not evil. It is beauty of God. It is the beauty of perfection. It's the beauty of spirit. It's the beauty of sense. Spiritual sense, soul sense. It's the beauty of principle, system, and structure. Imagine the structure that is involved in a flower, in a rose, sunflower, any kind of a beautiful vegetation. The fruit bloom on trees, apple blossoms, pear blossoms, any kind of blossoms. How about if we're watching the Olympics and we see a gymnast that is very graceful? Are we seeing the quality? Are we looking at her body? God is incorporeal, without body. God is no respecter of persons. God is qualities. If we are looking at the qualities that are being expressed, we're looking at something that is of lasting value. How about life? Someone can be looking at an empty house and they're looking to buy it or lease it or whatever. Are they going to bring life to that house? Are they going to express the qualities of good design in the decorating of it if it's an empty one? Are they going to have structured activities that are according to principle and balanced and harmonious? Or is it going to be filled with chaos? Are they going to be discussing and thinking about things that are true about God? Or are they going to just let any mortal mind suggestion creep into that home? Mary Baker Eddy did not have a phone in her home at Pleasant View because she did not want it to be an avenue for mortal mind suggestions to enter into the domain. We need to do the same thing. We need to block mortal mind suggestions. No matter what method we use to do it, we need to block it. We need to open our eyes to the truth and refuse to accept anything that is unlike God as being true. Truth is another thing. If we're abiding by the correct conscience and the correct motive, and we're staying on the path, the correct path that leads directly to God, in other words, where we can appreciate God's qualities more vividly than we did a moment ago. If that's the path we're on, then we're on the path of truth. No error can be a part of truth. Truth is true. What does one think communicating via love is all about? Are we going to talk in a gruff voice, sharply? Or are we going to be tender and true and considerate and loving and tolerant? Are we going to be carrying around a truckload of garbage? Or are we going to do what Mary Baker Eddy says, and that is to clear our account continuously? In other words, get rid of the sense of materiality in any way, shape, or form. Matter is not a part of spirit. Matter is not a part of God. Matter is not a part of the facts about God. Matter is not a part about correct interpretation or translation about man or anything in the universe of spirit. Love is the nurturing of all the qualities of God, just like life is the fatherhood qualities of God bringing life. Love is probably considered the most important synonymous term for God. And the reason I say it is because that is the wholeness, that is the completeness, and that is the nurturing so that you have surpassed the problems that are presented by not abiding with incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. We need to abide with the qualities of each one of those things, some of which have been mentioned in this treatment, because that is the way we can communicate with God. If we know what God is, if we can define God, then we can communicate with the definition, the qualities. We can abide by them. We can think, say, and act like those qualities demand that we do. Jesus said that if we think about something, that's the same as doing it. Well, let's do whatever is the most beautiful thing in the world to do. Mary Baker Eddy says we should pray ceaselessly. I believe she is telling us that we need to be constantly thinking about the qualities of God in everything we're doing, all day long. No matter what we're doing, think about how does this relate to what God is. What would Jesus be doing? What would Mary Baker Eddy be doing? What would any good messenger of God be doing about this situation? Mary Baker Eddy tells us that we will keep plenty busy and not have any time to be concerned about other people's business if we take care of our own business. That means our own consciousness. That means our own thought, speech, and action. That means our own body. Because our body is the projection of everything that is a part of our thought, speech, and action. That's our body. That's a container. That's our realm. That's our domain. That's our sphere of reflection, hopefully, of God. And not a reflection of the nothingness of the false sense that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter. It all depends on what we want to see in our own experience. Whatever we want to see, that's what our thoughts have to be inundated with. They need to permeate every little ounce of our thought. Let us make a habit of communicating with God continuously, clearing our debt, meaning get rid of anything that is chaotic and latch on to what is balanced, what is a reflection of God in character, in thought, speech, and action. Balance our account continuously. Don't carry it around with us. Don't take it to bed with us. Don't discuss it with someone else. Clean it out of our own thought pattern. Keep our house in order, our consciousness. Keep everything around us in order so that when we look around, wherever we're sitting or standing or walking or running or whatever we're doing, that we are thinking about the principle, the system and structure of principle. We're thinking about the plan and design of love. Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article on forgiveness, love your enemies, and she says, who is thine enemy except our own thought that we have an enemy? Our enemy is one, the nothingness of a belief of material life and intelligence and matter. That's our enemy. That's what we have to completely cleanse out of thought. We need to make a habit of thinking only about perfection. Mary Baker Eddy took time every day, several times a day, stop what she was doing and put her thought into exactly that atmosphere of perfection. She said that's when she had the most successful instantaneous healings, is when she got Mary out of the way and she was thinking about perfection permeating everything that she was seeing, talking about, or doing. The formula is easy. Are we going to take that bold step and get out of the false belief of having been born a sinner as a human coming from matter and electricity, being nurtured in an atmosphere of lies? Mary Baker Eddy says that a material life is lie upon lie, compounded and compounded. We have a choice. If we change our thought, we will change our experience. Forget DNA. Forget who your so-called human parents are. Brothers, sisters, education, experience. It doesn't mean anything. The only time is now, the only place is here, and we can start fresh this very instant. Communicating with truth, communicating with perfection, being perfection, proving it. Only one thing to remember. There is nothing but God. Period. Exclamation. End of sentence. Amen.